From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim and Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Every year, rabid bats are found in Idaho. Last year, 27 bats with rabies were found in the Jim State. And while bats are very beneficial little mammals, and they should not be made into the bad guy, it's a good idea to protect yourself and your pets from coming into contact with a possibly rabid bat. To find out how to do that, we asked Dr. Leslie Tingleson, the state public health veterinarian, to join us right now. Thanks for coming on Idaho Matters today.
You're welcome.
Let's start with the first rabid bat I understand you found in Idaho this year. Where was it? And were there any people exposed?
Yes. Well, every year we do find rabid bats. And this particular bat was found in Ada County in the Boise area. This poor little bat was presented to the owner by two dogs. We always question what the scenario involved, and it does not appear that the owner itself had any exposure to the rabid bat, but the two dogs. So they were had a visit with the veterinarian. So they were vaccinated dogs, so that's good. Vaccination is the best way to protect your pets in scenarios like this, because bats can appear outdoors, but they can also show up in the home. So I just wanted to make a plug there that even indoor pets should be vaccinated against rabies.
Absolutely. And dogs, you can vaccinate your cats. I learned before this that you can vaccinate a ferret and,
correct,
of course, horses.
The American Veterinary Medical Association recommends vaccinations for dogs, cats, ferrets, and although they won't be in the home, horses. That is from the Association of Equine Practitioners.
Interesting. But there's not a vaccine for people. So let's talk about rabies.
Well, there
people.
Is.
Oh, there is.
There is a vaccine for people, but people don't get vaccinated generally ahead of time or routinely like we do with our pets. The only people that would quote routinely be vaccinated against rabies would be those that work with the virus, like someone who works in a laboratory, for example, testing for rabies. When people have a potential or real exposure to a rabid animal, we're just not sure if they were bitten or not. They'll go talk to their healthcare provider. If the evidence is compelling, either we have a test for an animal that did have rabies, or say it was a bat someone found in their room and they woke up with the bat on their neck or on their skin or something, we're not entirely sure what the bat was doing while they were sleeping. We generally find that healthcare providers will recommend a series of injections. In the old days, they were the old shots in the stomach. They're not that. They start with one shot called immune globulin, which kind of gives your body a little bit of a jump start to protect you against rabies. And then you do a series of four shots over a 2-week series in your arm. So these are very effective shots. The disease itself is virtually 100% fatal. Ugh. So really the big take-home message is, please don't touch bats. Please avoid being around bats. Not all bats are rabid. It's a very, very, very small percentage that actually do have rabies. So we don't want to just be killing bats because we see them hanging around outdoors. They are quite beneficial to our environment. They eat mosquitoes and can be pollinators, but we do want to protect people. So the best way is to avoid exposures in the first place and protect your pets by keeping them vaccinated.
We're speaking with Dr. Leslie Tingleson, the state public health veterinarian, about the first rabid bat found in Idaho this year. You mentioned waking up and finding a bat in your room, and I did not know this, but apparently that's one of the most common ways for someone to be exposed to a bat is to wake up and there's a bat, hello, in the bedroom or in their house.
Sure.
How do they get in? I heard maybe, you know, if you have a hole in a screen or a vent or something.
Right. Think about we're in Idaho. We've got lots of cabins. We've got maybe some older homes or they can even come through chimneys.
Ooh.
And a lot of times bats will, many bat species migrate and they will come to Idaho in the spring. They'll set up what they call nurseries in, say, an attic, have their babies. And they are very small. They're like the size of a little mouse. And they can really squeeze through some amazingly small cracks. So it's recommended that if you do have bats in your attic area, to talk to a bat specialist on how to remove bats from the home. It's very important to think about their life cycle and not do it while they still have the babies in there. Wait till they leave in the fall, and then have the holes kind of closed off in ways that bats can be excluded from the home. There's actually information on the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's website on bat exclusion. Fish and Game also has some very good information on how to remove a bat from your home if you find one in your home. I want to discuss when you might not want to remove a bat from your home. And that's if you think you or your pet may have either been bitten or exposed to the bat such that we'd worry about an exposure to rabies. In that case, public health needs to get involved and we will work with you to get the bat tested for rabies and give you some additional recommendations if we think it's important for you to talk to your healthcare provider or veterinarian about ways to protect yourself once you may have had an exposure or your pet might have had an exposure.
Gotcha. And I think when you talked about, you know, rabies being almost 100% fatal, it's imperative if you do, you know, wake up with a bat in the bedroom or something to make sure you go through this process, you know, get the bat tested and make sure that you're checked out to be safe.
Exactly. And the test for the bat is free. It's through the state public health laboratory, but you need to work with the public health districts because there is an approval process and a process that we have in place in order to make sure that we are testing animals appropriately and not just testing a lot of random animals that don't necessarily need to be tested at all. So we always have to talk first with the public health district. And the group at the public health district is the epidemiologist. So if you call in, ask to talk to an epidemiologist, and they will be able to help you.
Gotcha. Well, this is great information. I hope it helps some people out. We've been speaking with Dr. Leslie Tingleson, the state public health veterinarian, about the first rabid bat found in Idaho this year. Thank you so much. This has been great.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.